You're listening to the Devi Hour Podcast, part of the RotoHeat.com family of podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Devi Hour, or during season, the Devi Half Hour, but we're not changing the name for 10 weeks, 12 weeks. I am your host, Brad Menendez, with always my man, Paul. He's going to give us something today. Veldboom, how are you, brother?
I'm glad the work week's over. We're literally getting this 5 minutes after I get home from the work week and almost crashing on the way home. I'm glad I didn't. Could have been, should have been. I'm glad it didn't happen. Yeah. I'm excited to sit here and discuss 18-year-olds that we draft in 3 years and hope work out for our fantasy team so that we can hope that they don't get hurt, because holy hell, the injury list in the NFL right now is huge.
Growing by the minute. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, the one thing I'm happy about is the pinnacle of Devi draft is almost over. We're like in round 97 or 98. I'm like, I might actually finish this draft. And I can't say that I know everybody that I drafted, but I at least have a familiarity with who they are. So I was pleasantly surprised in the end that that I actually had a clue about what was going on after round 50 as I continued to keep researching guys. So, you know, you're saying 18. I think some of my guys are 17 and 16, because I know there are a few 2023 guys that are on my roster.
I was going to say, how's the four-year-olds that you're drafting in round 99?
Well, and it's funny. Some of the, you know, guys are actually still drafting dudes that are currently in college. I was like, wow, at this point, you'd think you'd be hitting the St. John's prep every round. So,
is that middle school or high school, St. John? I mean, round 99, I mean,
we're getting deep. It's just, luckily enough, it's just 100 and done. And then next year, I think it's only, I think the future years is only like 25 rounds. And I'm going to guess that most of those rounds are churning guys off our roster that we don't really like all that much. You know, like, it's going to be my guess. But I could be wrong.
That's how it always works.
So, today will be fun, though, or during the day, seeing as this episode is being recorded kind of midday Friday afternoon. We are going to talk kind of recapping week one or week two. We're now week two. It's crazy to think about it. But the nice thing is that soon enough, we're going to have even more teams deciding to play football. Obviously, the Big Ten has announced that they're coming back. So that is smart on their part, because I don't know why on earth you wouldn't be playing football. As you can see, it's working for everybody. They're making it happen, and everybody seems to be pretty solid on the COVID front, testing and whatnot. But we're still hearing people that are opting out. You know, I know you mentioned in the chat, Nico Collins from Michigan announced he was opting out. Yep. You know, but with some of these guys, like Collins, coming back doesn't do anything to his draft value. Like, you know what Nico Collins is as a prospect. Like, I didn't see this year really doing anything for him either way. So some of the guys that opt out, that's kind of the way I feel about them. Like, some of them, I'm like, well, I know who you are, so it doesn't really matter to me whether you're playing or not. What's your take on the Big Ten coming back, and how do you feel about it?
Homerism aside, I think it's excellent news for us. We're not going to look like as big of idiots in a couple years when we have at least some film that we can work off of. If you don't have any film, you're going to look pretty stupid pretty fast. It's excellent news for everyone involved in it. The players at least have the option, which is what I'm hoping for. So it's all you can hope for in any situation. They at least have the option. Yeah, we get film. Two thumbs up.
And we get
what were your thoughts? Anything besides
that? No, I mean, I'm glad in the end the Big Ten didn't try to, you know, kind of stand their ground. I mean, you know, we've talked about plenty of times in the past just how the people making the decisions really didn't understand what the players and the coaches were thinking. They were just kind of doing their own thing. And I'm glad that they went the reverse, you know, because with this time that we're in, with everything, the uncertainty, be flexible, you know. And that's the kind of the thing I've learned throughout this entire pandemic, is you just have to be flexible to go with the flow. I mean, even us trying to figure out when we're going to do our recordings during season, like, we just keep talking, we keep being flexible, we keep saying, you know, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Like, people just have to not be, you know, they have to not be rule number one in the Roto community, you know. As long as everybody's cool and we have the conversation, we work through it, then no big deal. So I'm glad it's happening. Yep. Ultimately, more football is good football. My DVR is filling up, and I've been watching it like crazy. I typically, you know, I have this is my personal desk that I'm sitting at. I got my work desk next to me, and then I got a, you know, a big flat screen up on the wall, and I typically just put the DVR on and I have something running so that I can keep a keep an eye on what's going on, so I can try to get all these games in and not sound stupid when we talk about what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's I got two of them side by side. It's mainly for when we play video games, and it's just fun either having tunes on the other one. You watch some baseball game that I'm not interested in, but background noise, or Saturday and Sunday. One game's on one screen, another one's on the other one.
Yep.
It's a way to do it.
It's good stuff. I enjoy being able to throw something up and just have it go, you know, because not every game that I'm going to watch is super intriguing, especially for Debbie purposes. You know, some of it is prepping for NFL draft stuff. You know, as we get later into this season, we'll start rookie content on rotoheat.com. So I want to make sure that I'm up to speed as best I can, kind of looking at some of these guys that'll probably be coming out. So, you know, I enjoy that ability to throw something up. You know, I got the 70 inch in the living room for Sundays. I got, this is, I don't know, 50, 40. Oh, it's big enough here in the office that I can have it up and see what's going on from either desk, and no big deal. So, I can't complain. I'm definitely been appreciating the fact that we've got something to put on, because I was a little nervous there for a while that maybe we weren't getting anything. So, I'll take it.
Exactly.
And we have plenty to talk about this week. I mean, we got lots of games that happened. Some of which, you know, I remember we were chatting during the State Georgia Tech game, because I had flipped that on and it was on when I got in. And like I said, they had a rain delay, and I started watching it. It was like, wow. I really thought Florida State would kind of blow out Georgia Tech, but even with Asante Samuel Jr. looking so good, even, you know, which was surprising to both of us, because we hadn't really seen that out of him. So it was definitely an interesting slate of games we had this week. I think we saw what we expected to see out of some teams, you know, the Clemsons and whatnot. But we'll just kind of work through the list and talk about some of the things that we really liked or didn't like. We'll start at the top with Thursday's game on September 10th. We saw the Miami Hurricanes dominate UAB, which was kind of expected, 31-14. I will give it to you and allow you to do what you do best.
Okay. Yeah, Miami UAB. I'll just go position by position here. King, he looked horrible. He looked really scraggly. And scraggly in Florida. Eileen Warnos reference. They look bad. They played bad. He belongs in the woods. Horrible. He's off the list for me. Cameron Harris, he looked slow. We kind of hit on that before. I didn't really see anything out of any receivers that made me want to say, okay, hey, but most of the ones were interested are true freshmen, not really playing anyways. Jordan, I think he had two receptions, but on the plays he was in there and they threw him the ball, yep, he looked fine. So I don't know if that's a situation where he's just not familiar. King isn't with him. I don't know, but he looked fine.
He had, you know, he, what was he, three? I'm looking here at the stats while we're talking. 3 for 51 and a touchdown. So he was kind of their, yeah, he was their leading receiver,
yardage-wise. Yeah, and I believe it was the second one, the one he got hit on over the middle, he made a nice play. So if the stats at the end of the season are awesome, okay. If they're not, I'm assuming it's probably King's not familiar with him, which is fine. We're still getting film on him. It's all we can really ask for. Was there anything else that you had on that one? But
well, I was glad to see that Don Chaney Jr. got some action. You know, he averaged about 6.5 yards a clip, you know, 8 carries. It was nice to see. I didn't watch all 8 carries. I watched, I don't know, 5 or 6 of them. And he looked like he was doing well against lesser competition, because UAB is not really anything exciting. But I was impressed by that. I was glad to see that he got in there. From the UABs,
he looked a hair... he looked a hair slower than what I remember.
You think so?
Not much, but a hair slower.
Oh, I thought. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised that he averaged 6.5 yards a clip. I when I look at him and I watch him play, you know, in college against lesser competition, I was kind of expecting to be somewhere in the 5-yard-ish per carry guy. So to see him go a little bit higher than that, I thought his vision wasn't bad. You know, that was one of the big areas for me that I want to see, especially young running backs. I want to see them get better at seeing the field and finding the hole, you know, and doing those things. I mean, because even watching last night's Bengals-Browns game, there was quite a few runs that Joe Mixon had where I'm like, how did you not cut that back? Your line sucks and you run right into them. And you're, you know, when you could easily just bounce it outside and just go because, you know, and that's something that running backs need to learn in college. Because once you get to the pro game, it goes so much quicker that you don't have the time to think about it and react as easily. So I was impressed. I think from the UAB side, the Myron Mitchell, he's a guy that I wrote down to look into a little bit. He was their leading receiver, but he looked crisp. He was averaging almost 15 yards per catch. I mean, you know, just some things where I'm like, okay, you know, he went off pretty well against at least a formidable opponent. So he's a guy that I'm going to look at. I don't know much about yet, but that was one name I took away from the UAB side, at least to take a peek at and see if there's something there.
Yes, I felt the same about Spencer Brown also, running back.
He's a leading rusher.
He didn't look like a great athlete, but he looked like someone who might sneak in the back of the draft, someone to keep in mind for the future. I know we got to move a little quickly here because you have actual life to deal with soon. So next one here, Iowa State versus Louisiana Lafayette.
How?
I was on the Brock Purdy bandwagon.
He didn't look good.
It didn't look good. Didn't look good. He looked like he was laboring on throws. He looked a little off timing wise, and you're gonna have some of that, but
oof. Well, especially against this team, I expected to be very similar to what, you know, Clemson did, yes, to Wake Forest. I mean, like, you know, 3-4 yep, touchdown win game, and it was, you lost. Breece Hall looked good though. Breece Hall looked pretty solid.
Yes, I'm not as much of a Hall fan,
yeah,
but he
better
looked
than I expected.
He looked like he should have. Yeah, I mean, he himself mm-hmm. looked fine. Yeah, there's just no one else to hit on in that game.
That's basically it.
Okay, UNC Cuse, Sam Howell for about the first, I don't know, third of it looked a little off. The second two-thirds looked like Sam Howell. There wasn't a wow throw, but he didn't really have to make one either. Basically, he looked fine, is the short version. Dayami Brown, I still don't see it, but should make the league. Anyone I missed in that one?
No, I thought Carter did okay. I was pleasantly surprised by him, but I still don't think he's really anything more than a late day three guy at running back. But, man, for me, it's like this team sucks. Like, I don't like many of the pieces on North Carolina. So I'm like, man, you know, watching Sam Howell, I'm trying to give him a bit of a mulligan. It's week one. They haven't done a lot of hitting. The team is not good around him. So I was like, he looked like he was breaking off the rust. So I'm week one is a mulligan for me. I don't think I can really judge much on it.
Yeah.
You know, he threw a couple picks. It's probably just because at least one of them, the one that I remember seeing now that we're talking about, the one I remember seeing, I don't blame him as much on. I don't remember seeing the second interception. I'm sure I did though.
Yeah, I had seen a couple of what were you thinking moments, and then there were a couple, okay, this is why I'm considering you probably the top player at position for that year. We're going to get mulligans early in the year. I mean, it's what's going to happen. It's not a him problem. I hope Purdy snaps out of it, but that one looked like he's going to have to show me something to snap out of that. His issues looked a lot worse than Sam Howell's mental makeup for the first quarter or third or whatever it was.
I agree.
All right. We're going to skip a couple of the games that don't really matter. Another Dame, Duke. There wasn't anyone who stuck out that shouldn't have. I thought that Duke, is it Bryce? I thought he looked fine for what he had. And I know they've had practice issues, and other issues, because they're one of the areas that's more concerned about COVID than all the other ones. They just have a medical facility where they research the stuff and they get the information faster. And they had practice issues over the summer and the spring. There wasn't anyone who really stuck out for Notre Dame who I thought might work out.
What'd you think about Kyren Williams? Running back. He led the team in running. Yeah. I mean, he did pretty good, almost 6 yards carried, a couple touchdowns.
I'm concerned about the top end speed. He was the one that had like the 50-yard score, right? And I'm concerned about the top end speed. Isn't he like a freshman or sophomore or something? Didn't he?
Yeah, he's not been there long.
Yeah. He's someone who interests me, but he's on that pile with a couple hundred others. And I don't mean to go ahead and knock him. I just need more.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I you know, he had the thing I liked is that they had him in the receiving game too. I mean, he had it was like 75-yard receiving touchdown, you know, or receiving play. You know, he had 2 catches for 93 yards. One of those was 75 yards, and then he had 19 carries for 112 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, they just used him a lot, and I was impressed by that. I mean. Ian Book, you know, there's really nobody on this team outside of Williams where I was like, oh, I may have to keep watching that. I like that
who was tight end selected. Yeah, he got some run, and he caught my eye.
He looks like he knows what he's doing out there, so that's a plus.
Yeah, he's a freshman or redshirt freshman. I don't remember which one it was, but yeah. But he made a player or so that I looked and went, was that the guy that you selected? I looked up your league and I'm like, thumbs up there. That's the guy you selected.
Maybe I got lucky.
There we go.
Yeah. So other than that, Williams was the only one that after watching was like, okay, I'm gonna keep an eye on that and see what's there. That 75-yard touchdown was just wild to me.
Yes. All right. Oklahoma, they played the school of the blind, and it showed. Rattler looked fine for what he was. I'm not as high, basically, because I wasn't as high on his high school film, which is basically all you have. He looked fine. Rambo looked fine. He looked a little thicker than I remember him. And what I think he was 180 last year, so he's going to have to add some.
Who's Mims had a little bit of action there too. Yes. Marvin.
Yeah. Marvin Mims. Related to Denzel. I did look it up. He made some nice plays there.
I was really surprised that they split it between Rattler and Mordecai, though. I mean, like, they both got the same amount of attempts. and I think Mordecai looked just as good as Rattler did.
Did you see the interception he threw with 5 minutes left? Yeah, that was not good.
Isn't Mordecai, like, the true fresh, though? Like, I think he's...
No, Mordecai's, like, a redshirt.
Oh, is he a sophomore? Oh, I thought he was younger.
No, he's not. Mordecai, that has the look of week four transfer that you see on the blurb right there. I guess I didn't watch all the snaps he played. If he played some that you saw that looked fine, so be it. I just saw the interception and went,
I mean, he basically played very similar to Rattler. I mean, 14 to 17, you know, close to 200 yards passing, a touchdown, he threw an interception. I mean, it was kind of, it almost seemed like they were trying to dink and dunk, and I wanted to see them kind of like just let it loose. I wanted to see some big play attempts. You know, they knew they had these guys under control. Like, try some things, see if, you know, if you got something there. But they didn't really show me anything that made me go, I'm taking any of these guys. Like, I'm not touching either of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We just need more film is pretty much what it is. So moving on, Clemson, we hit on them in a previous episode. We did a half hour specifically on them. Ironically, there wasn't anyone who showed better or worse than what I was expecting. Dixon was hurt. Fabio looked like Fabio. ETN looked like ETN. And Gatta looked like he should have. Ladson made a really nice reception. I'm a bigger fan of his than a lot of the other ones. So that can be somewhat of a surprise if you're not up to who he is. The defense looked excellent, but they're playing Wake. I'm afraid they might beat FSU by 100. It's just horrible. Was there anyone who stood out on there besides what you saw?
No, there really wasn't anything to get excited about. I mean, it is, you know, like Denny Green says, they are who we think they are. So all the guys that I expected to see do well, did well. You know, I like that Amari Rodgers was getting about, let me check the stats. Yeah, about 18 yards a catch. Was like most of his catches were over 10, which was nice. Because I worry about him being at the next level. But other than that, I mean, Knott, I thought looked fine. Ladson, I thought looked fine. It's kind of, they are what they are.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of the disappointment of the weekend for me, FSU, Georgia Tech, Terry, he had an 80-yard touchdown that he dropped. He had another one that he dropped. That being said, I will 100% give him a mulligan on that one. He had a personal issue, and I'll just leave it at that, that he gets off the hook for. The O-line still looks horrible, which means that the running backs did also. The defense, if you're playing deep enough that you can get Gaynor, I would look at drafting him. He looks like he can be a three-down NFLer in the middle. There were some other ones who didn't look as they should have, mainly Lars would be. Samuel had the interceptions, so he gets the headlines. One of them they threw right into his hands. Wilson had two blocks, but the Georgia Tech O-line, I think, went on two, and they snapped it at one. It was really odd. Corbin looked fine, but again, you can only look fine. Oh, and Blackman's off the list. Just get him out of there.
Yeah, he looked rough, that's for sure. I think Sims looked better than him, and isn't Sims a freshman?
Who we had, and we told we don't want you. Somehow there's no alcohol involved then and or now.
Sims definitely looked better and more willing to take chances than Blackman did. I mean, you know, Sims did gotten in on the running game very nicely. I mean, some of it was running for his life because Georgia Tech's not exactly the best offensive line either.
If you have a deeper super flex, Jeff Sims seems like a decent speculative ad.
Yeah, I think I could potentially be adding him here in the Pinnacle League now that we're past the games this week when I finally get a pick again. I'm like, well, I'll stash him, see what happens, because he looked good. I mean, the arm looked good. That's the running looked good.
Yeah, that's right. We just make everyone look good. Anywho, is there any other Texas is probably the was there any other games you had besides
No, that? I mean, I enjoyed watching the Coastal Carolina-Kansas game, but there really isn't a lot to take from it. I just thought I was really pleasantly surprised that Coastal Carolina came out with the win, but it was a fun game to watch from a college perspective, not really Defy-related.
Yeah. So, yeah, Texas, you had Ingram look like Ingram. He's going to run 4.48 to 4.6, somewhere in there. Black looked really athletic, but we know he's got injury issues and other issues.
Would have been nice for him to play that
way. He looked like a premium athlete. I don't think we saw who was number 13 last year, the guy that the sophomore, the guy that they had really highly recruited. I don't think he ever saw the field. I'm trying to think of his name. I want to say Hurd, but I know that's... Is it Hurd? Texas football. Let's see. The stats. Why can I not think of this guy's name?
Because we only can remember so much information.
Yeah, there's only so many 14-year-olds that I can remember. Texas, okay. Roshan Johnson. I thought he still looked undecisive and a little slow. I know that there was some hope for him. I don't see it.
Wasn't who I was thinking.
Who is he?
Yeah, I thought I was pleasantly surprised by Moore. That was one I really wasn't sold on, Josh Moore, the receiver. But he seemed to be, they seemed to heavily involve him, and he seemed to be able to be up to the task. Ellinger, I still, I know I drafted him, but I'm still not sure how I feel about him. I mean,
he's a round seven athlete.
He's the next, Colt McCoy or any of these other meh Texas quarterbacks over the years. But he torched them.
The guy was Yeah. I mean, it's UTEP. They should. The guy I was thinking of, Brennan Eagles.
Oh,
he got,
sure.
Four receptions, but I don't remember any of them. He is so slow at cutting that I'm off of him 100%.
I think Moore and Black were the only ones in this game that really I was like, okay, I see you. I'll jot you down and keep an eye on. And, Tariq Black's a guy I've always liked, and I liked him at Michigan in the injuries. But if he can stay healthy this year and put it together for a full season and play like he did, he's draftable. I mean, he's definitely got talent.
Oh, yeah, he's got the athlete in there. I mean, besides Keontae Ingram, but, we mentioned him already.
So, other than that, I think those were the big guys at Texas. Let's see what else we have. Texas Tech. Was there anybody that I'm looking through my notes if there was anybody when I watched them that I cared about?
Basher had, I don't remember what the stats were, but he had a couple of them. He's got that height, weight, speed, but that's it. He needs refinement in a lot of areas. But he's always been someone that that you start looking at and when you narrow your search and say, okay, who can make the NFL? He sticks out from the spark score perspective. But then you start watching the film and you're like, eh.
What do you know about, the thing I forgot, and that's why it made me think about it. They played Houston Baptist, which doesn't produce much by the way of NFL guys. But they had a kid on there, Josh Stearns, caught 5 passes for 209 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, ridiculous stats. His name is Josh Stearns. That's a guy I had not heard of. Him and his brother are both on the team. So there's Josh and Jared Stearns. And they both went, ape on Texas Tech. Joshua had 5 for 209 and 2. And then his brother, Jared had 12 for 130 and 1. And, just insane stats. So I was like, I don't know anything about these guys. Look, Houston Baptist is not a team I know anything about.
Yeah, I don't either. As I'm looking up their numbers here, I know that who's the other receiver? Or did he go? No, I think the other receiver was in. Yeah, the other receiver that they had was a rookie this year and didn't make it. But yeah, I'm not familiar with the names that you're speaking of. Obviously, we'll have to get more football Sundays and I'll stash them in my mind.
Mean, those are guys that I didn't know. I mean, obviously playing from as behind as they were, you know, they were throwing the ball a lot. I mean, their quarterback threw for 567 yards. I mean, like they were throwing the ball a lot. He only threw 49 passes. I mean, so it was surprising to me. Like I was watching Texas Tech to see Carter, because Sheen Carter is kind of a kid. I was interested in seeing how he did. But I was more, once I started watching the game, I was like, oh, these other guys are like going ape. I mean, Texas Tech barely pulled out the win, but these kids are playing their butts off. And I mean, they've yet to win a game, but those guys were like, oh, all right, I see you. I don't know what to make of you, but I see you.
547, that might be a season worth of throwing for Michigan or Florida State at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we should have hit in the news and notes that your boy McCaffrey decided to head elsewhere. We'll see where elsewhere is.
Well, but that was expected because all the talk was Joe Milton took over the reins anyway. So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I made sure I added all three quarterbacks in the Pinnacle League because the funniest thing is I like the quarterbacks. I hate the coach and the team. Like, I just don't think Harbaugh can develop quarterbacks. And, you know, Milton, I think, has a big arm and has some mobility. You know, he has some things that you like that you could see go to the NFL, but I don't think Harbaugh is going to develop him. You know, McCaffrey, big arm, more of a pocket passer, and even the third guy in the three-headed monster has a little bit of wiggle, has a good arm, you know, and I'm like, Harbaugh's going to ruin all three of these guys' NFL careers because he just doesn't know how to coach them. So,
which is ironic because that's the position he played.
Well, and he basically pulled Colin Kaepernick from relative obscurity and made a thing out of him, you know, and so it's like, how are you this bad at this? But it's horrible. So what can you do? I'm just happy that there's football coming back from the Big Ten. There are plenty of guys I want to see play. I just don't want to see Harbaugh. Like if they could blur him out every game, that'd be sweet. So
it might be a hard year for you and for our teams, but there's
on
still
Saturday
football.
And Sunday it'll be hard
there's
for
still
me.
There's still film.
This Sunday it'll be hard for me against your team because your team should destroy us.
You don't want to hit on DeAndre Swift.
I'm not going to bag on him. You know, that was a dumb thing that they shouldn't have put him in that position in the first place. Like a rookie game winning catch. Like I felt for the kid when I watched the play. I was like, oh, he had it too, but he was already, you know, anytime you see a guy begin to try to turn his head to look like he's going to move forward, you're going to drop it. There's just no way. Focus on catching the ball. Worry about the rest after that. Yeah.
Yep. That'll be it. I'll be interested in seeing if that one play breaks him mentally. I'm not saying it's.
Well, AP's been trying to calm him down, so hopefully the kid can move on from it. If not, then we just ruined a very talented running back.
Well, wouldn't be the first time there. Carry-on owners are like...
Or yeah. Kevin Smith, or Kevin Jones, or, I mean, you can go... I keep naming good running backs that Detroit drafted that, or Detroit took that ruined them. Kevin Jones is one of my favorite running backs in all time in Lions history outside of Barry, and he just couldn't stay healthy. They couldn't protect him, so he was getting just crushed, and he never lasted. I mean.
Who is the kid from Wisconsin again?
Oh, Amir Abdullah?
Wisconsin. He went to Oak Creek High School. They drafted him in the third.
Calhoun. Brian Calhoun. Yeah. I was like, they shouldn't have drafted him there anyway. I didn't think he was a third round running back, but what can you do? It is what it is. Detroit's going to keep doing what they do until they get real leadership. Louis Riddick, if you watch the show at any point, just call Detroit and say you'll do it. Go run the team, fix this, and get it done. That's all I got to say about that.
Heck, who knows? If you're listening in on it, I volunteer. I'll put my homerism aside for the Packers. I just want to run the draft, and that's that. I just want to say that my selections were successful. That's all I'm looking for.
For now, you'll just have to.
Not a big ask.
For now, you'll just have to make your fantasy draft selections successful.
Oh, no, I scout the linemen also. I don't discriminate. I don't discriminate. I scout the linemen also.
I see them. I can't say that I'm focusing too much on them, but I do see them. There are ones that I point out. I'm like, oh, that guy's terrible.
It's like that scouting also. You get in watching, and you're like the second game in. You're like, scratch, 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 UDFA.
Yeah. Moving on. That's the funniest thing is that I find myself more and more when I watch games noticing guys that I wasn't looking for more than the guys that I was looking for at times. And I'm like, this is a bad sign. If I didn't really see anything that stuck out to me, then obviously you're not very good. So I'll just keep moving on.
Yeah. That happens.
But we digress. So, all right. So that is week two. It's in the books. Week three is to come. Hopefully Big Ten will be coming in here soon and we'll get some extra stuff to talk about. But otherwise, thank you guys for hanging out with us as always. RotoHeat.com. You can see our Devi rankings that we update on the regular. We've got all sorts of Devi articles that Jason pumps out during the off season and is working on some through the season. If you have questions, hit us up on Facebook. Paul's over there. Discord is where all of us are. Or, you know, ask questions on YouTube. I scour the YouTube comments so I can try to answer them and not take any of them personally when I get my stats wrong or I'm posting too many videos. We don't worry too much about that. We give you as much fantasy content as possible. Until next week, I'm Brad. That's Paul. And we will talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Devi Hour Podcast. Don't forget to check us out on RotoHeat.com or on YouTube at RotoHeat.